You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast, where I am joined by an absolute gaggle of Big Strong Leicester Boys this evening. I'll start with the biggest and strongest, and that is Ric Flair. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. No, I'm not actually. I'm still not recovered from last weekend, you know. I've been to hell and back this last week. I'm actually drinking fruit tea this evening. Although I've just seen Chelsea's bollocking an ale down him, so I might have to go and get one in a minute. But I wouldn't say I'm really ill, but I'm also not very good. Sort of probably about 45%, which is probably me at my peak. So yeah, I'm all right.
Good. And you've had quite the day out at Wacky Warehouse today, I gather.
Well, Liz took Oscar ice skating and I can't ice skate. I'm the absolute pits at it, so I refused to go. So I took Darcy, just took her the soft play. But yeah, very early on, it became abundantly clear that some little Herbert had done a Richard in the ball pit. The smell was horrendous. And yeah, and she wouldn't get out either. She wanted to be in there. And I was like, no, not doing that. So yeah, not a good day, mate. But yeah, we'll leave it there, shall we? Move on.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. I don't want you to feel any worse for wear. Also, Jake, great to have you on the pod again. I would say back on the pod, but you were here last week. But given the state of all of us, I've sort of blanked that pod from my memory. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Good to be back properly. Yeah, apologies for last week, for A, being so ridiculously hungover. And I really was. Me and Rick were just, I think, giving updates, weren't we, daily in the WhatsApp group about how hungover we were. It took me till Thursday.
Yeah, about Friday, I was still getting updates from you two.
Yeah. This is genuine. I felt dreadful up until Thursday. I was back visiting friends and family in Norwich this weekend, and ordinarily that would involve, you know, you see an old mate having a catch up and some booze, but I still couldn't do it. So I genuinely had a couple of alcohol-free beers in the pub last night because I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But yeah, now where are we? Sunday evening, I feel fine again. So my audio was crap. My audio was crap last week because I was on the phone at my parents' house and I was ridiculously hungover. So I was kind of back, but not really. But this week, kind of properly back, but didn't watch the game. But anyway, I'm just here for the vibes.
Good. Well, we'll. I was going to make a joke about people not watching the game, but we'll save that one for later. So there we are. We've also got two friends of the show on the podcast who've been on before, and we're very delighted to have them back. So, Dave, I'll start with you. Dave Bevan of the Foss Way, founder, co-founder. What is your title at the Foss Way? Is that fair? Is that fair?
Yeah, co-founder is fair, along with Joe and James. I can't take all the credit for it, unfortunately.
No, but you can take all the credit for the stuff you've written on Twitter this afternoon, which you've got absolute pelters for, which we'll get into a little bit later. So I'm keen to have a chat with you about that. That
might crop up, yes. Look forward to it.
Good. And also Chelsea of, what's your title at Union FS Chelsea? Assuming I pronounced your name correctly. Well, did that wrong the other week.
That would be co-founder as well, though my sort of involvement in the group is, I wouldn't say diminished, but less involved as, or heavily involved as I was for the first sort of 5 years. But obviously we've got to 10 years now, which we celebrated in the SK1 section yesterday, which was great. Had a private party at the Exchange Bar after, so I'm definitely in Sunday night repentance club with the rest of you lads tonight. But yeah, the only way to get over it is to get back on the bottle, to be fair, Rick, isn't it? So here we are with the Corona.
That is very Ric Flair. What did you declare on Tuesday night? You were back on spirits or something, weren't you, Rick?
Who, me?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be anyone else. I had a
very, very large gin on Monday or Tuesday, which didn't do me any favours. I did end up getting arsehole again on Thursday, actually, and last night. So, yeah, that's probably... you forget, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do. It's December. It's that stage of the year where you just...
Yeah.
You're full of colds. You can't decipher whether it's a cold or a hangover.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, it's both normally, and everyone's carrying something. So there we are. Anyway, people probably haven't tuned in to talk about hangovers or listen to people talk about hangovers, I guess. They're probably more interested in the football. So 4-0 win against Plymouth yesterday, and what I thought was a pretty good performance, actually. I bumped into Jordan after the game last night, who promptly told me that I didn't know anything about football and what was I worried about, because he's been saying all year that was coming. And I'm very happy to be wrong. I thought we were very convincing, aside from like a 10-15 minute spell. We for the first time this season, we properly put aside out of sight. And it was a very comfortable finish, which we haven't said for a long time, for a lot of games this season. And you know, really, really enjoyable. So, keen to get your thoughts on that. I'll start with you, Dave, because I know you were at the game. What did you make of it?
Yeah, largely exactly what you've said. I mean, just to put a team away, finally take those chances. I think the biggest thing for me was actually starting the second half well, which we haven't been doing recently, and taking the chances when they came. I think there were. Obviously, the wingers shone a little bit more than they have been. I've been a bit critical of Mavadidi. I think there's either that there's more to come from him, or he's not very good. So the challenge is there. Like, is there more to your game than this? Because his shooting technique, I think his finishing technique, like Rick said on the pod before, has been awful so far this season. So that second goal of his, I think, would have hopefully given him some more confidence, and hopefully is a sign that he can score goals, because the approach is so like predicated on getting the ball to the wingers, and when there's no number nine in the box, they kind of need to be able to finish. And so yeah, a bit more end product. Especially after the last couple of games, because they'd both gone to injury time with something riding on it, just to relax a little bit more was kind of, I think, what we needed.
Exactly. Yeah, I wanted to talk about Mavadidi because I think it's definitely his best display of the season. But talking about displays, obviously, Chelsea, 10 years of Union FS, a big party last night and probably a performance fitting of 10 years of Union FS. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought it was nice to have one of those games because it meant that we could relax. We could just, from an atmosphere standpoint, there was no sort of nervousness whatsoever. As soon as we got those three quick fire goals in the second half, it was, in effect, like just working through the repertoire of songs and just enjoying the rest of the game, really. And it's nice to see Ben Nelson get on for his debut, league debut. Obviously got a chant straight away, which is a recycled Ben Marshall chant from years gone by.
It's normal time of that is.
Yeah, really good. So, it was just, I thought it was just generally just a good showing across the board, really. I think that we controlled the game from start to finish, other than those 10, 15 minutes that you said in the first half. I think Enzo alluded to that in his post-match as well, that he had not quite seen that sort of level of control for a good while in terms of the rest of the game. So, yeah, really, really pleasing performance on the pitch. And as I said, kind of from an atmosphere point of view, it was good in our area, maybe areas to improve on around the rest of the stadium. I'm sure
we'll come on to that. We will come on to that. I'm glad you mentioned the Ben Nelson chant because I thought that was brilliant. I also really enjoyed the Boys from Filbert Street version of Tree by Kasabian. Yeah. That's never heard that song at scale, which is disappointing. But that did get going for quite a while yesterday, which was very good. I'll go to the extended highlights crew, which is becoming a bit of an ongoing joke for you, Rick. It's someone I see at the football every Saturday. So there's Rick here, and I go, no. He'll have watched the extended highlights, though, won't he?
I'd be too pissed if I was there anyway. But, we've been saying we needed to put a team away. We did. I still feel like we should have put more away. And I know that's probably being very picky, but some of the chances that were missed or probably won't even register of chances, that one that Ndidi somehow didn't connect in the first half. I mean, we only had 13 shots again. Am I being a bit unreasonable there? Is that still not that many? I know we scored four, but yeah, that front three of Mavadidi, Dakar and Fatawu, it had the potential to be electric. And it was, you know, pace, which is not something that we're naturally blessed with throughout the team. So to get them all out there, it was good. And they're the first goals at King Power this season from a winger. From Mavadidi, okay. McAteer and Fatawu and Yunus. That's the first goal that any winger scored.
Away from home, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the only other one, Wanyamasa got one, didn't he, against Cardiff. Don't even know whether you can class him as a winger, but he played out there. But yeah, so, I mean, Mavadidi's got two goals. Daka's got a goal and assist. Fatawu's got two assists. You know, that's the end product you want from your front three. And going to Daka, I mean, Vardy and Iheanacho have been scrabbling around for form all season, haven't they? They've done okay, but they've not blown teams apart like they ought to. Daka's performance yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, is the best performance from a striker this season in our shirt. And why it's taken that long, I don't know, because I know behind the scenes, whatever reason, Enzo might not fancy him or trust him or be the long-term solution. But at this level, he will score goals. I'm really convinced of that. So I think we need to use him and hopefully he plays again on Wednesday. And then if he scores again, it might well be takes care of itself. Obviously, Cannon came on as well, which is great. But the funniest thing about Daka was, as you notice, that Enzo calls him Pat. I don't know why I find that funny, but he just kept referring to him as Pat.
Postman Pat.
Postman, yeah. He delivers.
Always delivers.
All round good. Good to give someone a hiding. Could have been more, should have been more. Let's do the same on Wednesday.
Yeah, another game on Wednesday. Jay, what did your highlights tell you?
Nah, look, I mean, obviously kind of echoing lots of what all the other boys have said. Great to put a team away finally. And we mentioned it last week. A nice run of games on paper, isn't it? Plymouth, Millwall, Birmingham, Rotherham. And without kind of wanting to quote Jord, that will be all right. And I don't know how many points you predicted we'd win. I think probably all of them. But I think we should. But I really do think we should, you know, and if we get into that Ipswich game, then with a, not even a buffer or a cushion, I really don't know, because, you know, you've got to give credit to Leeds and Ipswich because they're sticking with us. And they really are. I mean, so Reading have the record points tally, don't they, of course, for a championship season. 20 games in, I think they'd got 47 points by this point. So we've got more than what Reading have. But so do Ipswich, you know, and Leeds are just a few points behind that. So yeah, we are leading it, but we are actually in a division at the moment against a couple of other teams who you can argue are two of the best teams ever seen in the championship 20 games in. So I think it was a bit of a kick up the backside, wasn't it? Dropping a couple of points. And, you know, the fact that then it was Leeds, wasn't it, who played the night before, puts the pressure on us to go out and get the job done. I think that helped as well, because I think otherwise sometimes you can struggle a little bit to get up for a game at home against Plymouth. But knowing they had to go out there and win it because what Leeds had done the night before, I think was helpful. So, yeah, pleased with the 4-0. The team selection, interesting one. Kind of alluded to it last week, didn't we, about Tom Cannon. And feeling like maybe, just maybe, you know, could still be premature, but week on week, kind of backing my thought that maybe Enzo isn't a fan of him, or he wasn't an Enzo signing. You know, Patson Daka coming out of absolute nowhere to start that game at the weekend. And look, Rick's right. Patson Daka will score goals this level. But we said the same thing about Ian Atcher and Vardy. I think that Vardy's got exactly the amount of goals and played exactly the amount of minutes that someone of his age should have. It's Ian Atcher, isn't it, who's been a bit of a disappointment, you know, and I'm a big fan of him. He hasn't scored as much as what he should have done. So yeah, I think it's interesting. We now find ourselves in December. Maybe Ian Atcher, with his contract being up at the end of the year, he could once again field some bids from a Premier League club. I'm hearing rumours of Palace again. So maybe Daka's got a bit of a way back in, and it ends up being Vardy, Daka and Cannon as the three. So yeah, no, I thought Daka did well, took the goal well. But yeah, he's like the other three, isn't he? He should score goals at this level. It's all about being able to step up. But I suppose we just cross that bridge when we get there, don't we?
Yeah, he should score goals at this level. And to be honest, that was the bit that you know, running in behind, going one-on-one with a keeper, that's, we've always known he's all right at that. I think he's a calm finisher. He doesn't miss too many chances. But actually, the other part of his game I thought was pretty good. The way that I think there was one moment where Vestergaard passed him the ball and he'd run in the other direction. But apart from that, he linked the play quite nicely. And it's obviously a new role and something different for him. But actually, I thought he did pretty well in that space. And Cannon's an interesting one, actually, because I just assumed that Cannon would start yesterday. But when he came on, you can sort of see why he didn't. He did look a bit raw. He, you know, the few occasions he was running in behind, but wasn't really doing much else from what I could see anyway. So I sort of, you know, and particularly when Daka plays like that, you can sort of understand it. But Dave, it's an interesting conundrum for Enzo now, because, you know, if Vardy and Ian Atcher are fit and Daka plays well again on Wednesday, I don't know who he picks. Well, I would pick Daka, I think.
But. Yeah, I think I would probably pick Daka as well. I think it seems like it's obviously a ridiculous luxury that you're bringing a £23 million striker or whatever it is that you've got down the back of the sofa that you haven't used at all. You bring him in to play Plymouth. I mean, it is a luxury. So I can't really imagine that the club would want all four of them staying past January. Yeah, like Jake says, Ian Atcher is going to be of interest to Premier League clubs. Obviously, Daka nearly seemingly went to Bournemouth in August, and maybe there'll be clubs interested in him, especially if he scores again regularly, like if he gets picked. For me, I still get terrified when he receives the ball facing his own goal, especially kind of like 20-30 yards from goal, which is the requirement of our strikers these days. I think, like you say, he did okay at it. There were one or two, I think you were being a bit generous, there were one or two more sort of times.
I'm the biggest Daka fanboy going, Dave, so I have to play my role.
I still think, look, just sort of point him at the goal and just chuck it over the top. And you could see, like, from his goal, that's obviously what he excels at. The touch, I still kind of, yeah, worry about. But it's exciting to have that kind of pace up front. Someone who can actually, with his pace, I think, is the difference between what the other two had been asked to do so far, is receive the ball and be on the end of the crosses, which there was one where it just eluded Daka in the first half, where you thought he's actually, you know, fully sprinted 40 or 50 yards to get on the end of that. He's capable of doing it, which is exciting to watch.
Yeah. He just got himself in really good positions. I mean, he missed a chance early on, didn't he? I'm not sure quite how he missed that. But he was getting himself in those positions. And I think you made a good point. In terms of players, Charlesy, anyone we've not mentioned enough, anyone else stand out for you yesterday?
I was thinking, actually, stand out but not potentially in a good way was Cassaday. I was pretty disappointed by him, actually. He got on the ball in some good positions, actually, where he carried the ball at the back four, and you just wanted him to thread a ball through to Cannon or Fatu or whoever made those forward runs, and he just didn't do it. He held on, he dallied on it. It almost looked like he got caught in several mines. So I thought that was a bit of a shame. But from a positive sense, I thought that Fatu was, again, good. He just excites the crowd. His feet are great. Had that good curling effort in the first half that looked pretty close from where we were. And obviously got registered a couple of assists as well. So, yeah, I think it looks good. And just going back to Daka as well, I think that I'd like to see more of him between now and, obviously, he's going to AFCON, I assume, as well as obviously Kelechi will go as well. So we will be reliant on Cannon to supplant Vardy as well during that period, because Vardy won't be able to play every game in that period. So Cannon is going to have some minutes under the belt by then, and hopefully Enzo trusts him a little bit more than he's shown so far. But I felt that he was okay. Nothing better, nothing worse, really.
Yeah, it's mad when we're talking about the number of players we've got for the positions we've got. Because, I mean, yesterday, for example, Ricardo didn't play, but I don't really think we missed him. And he's one of our strongest players. Hamza comes in playing in a role that before this season he wasn't necessarily familiar with, played really well. I mean, Winks, obviously, we would miss if he wasn't there. Justin, I think, has actually got a lot stronger in the last kind of few weeks. So, you know, Rick, you're a man who worries about injuries as much as I do. But actually, you know, the famous last words, but touch wood, I think, you know, we've got a squad that, you know, with the amount of games we've got coming up, and we are now getting really into silly season, that should be able to navigate through, I think.
I mean, when they go to AFCON in January and Suter also goes to the Pan-Asian Cup or whatever it's called, that, I know he don't get in, but, you know, that's five players that potentially go in. If we lost five players to injury for a month, you'd be a bit concerned. But, yeah, hopefully up until Christmas, those that were missing yesterday, hopefully they're just short-term. It sounds like they are. But, yeah, we seem to be back being able to rotate the last couple of games, whether that's forced or otherwise, and we still perform to the level. Having an Ndidi back has made a massive difference, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that the midfield three of Dewsbury, Ndidi and Winks, they've just got that blend of experience. You know, attacking-wise, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, it's not natural, but at this level, they're more than good enough. And you just feel assured and confident that we'll get the job done with those three. And Doyle's obviously nearly coming back. It's going to be interesting because I agree with you. Justin, in the last few weeks, I think, has really started to become consistent. He no longer gets caught ball watching. He's a good 1v1 defender.
Game, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been since the... Yeah, you're right. Obviously, I still think when we're building from the back early, you know, not being left-footed does hinder us, and that's where Doyle will slot back in and will probably be better going forward. But I think he gets caught out a lot because he's not that quick. And with him and Vestergaard, you know, Justin's pace bails us out as well as his 1v1 defending. So, yeah, what we lose in some of Justin's qualities will gain in Doyle's. But I think they'll rotate now, those two, or Justin and Ricardo. But yeah, hopefully we've got enough to be able to navigate injuries and unavailability. I mean, Leeds on, they're not losing anyone to AFCON or any of the other mid-season tournaments, so they'll be rubbing their hands together, because I know Ipswich lose three or four as well to both tournaments. So we'll see, won't we? Yeah. Big month, January, well, December, January.
I'd say, though, on that squad and, you know, covering injuries and people leaving, I do think there's one position we do need, just one player. And I do think that's the centre midfielder. I think we, as you mentioned, Ndidi, when he was out, and
yeah, we missed him.
There was another one. I think it was Eunice out, and then
like Cassidy against Leeds, right?
Yeah, and I think, yeah, and then, yeah, and it was Cassidy who obviously wasn't having a good game, and then Enzo didn't want to bring on a sub. I think his only midfielder he had was Hamza. He brought on just for the sake of bringing on a midfielder, but obviously if you
and he played him at right back and pushed Ricardo forward, didn't he?
Yeah, and obviously, if you're trying to win a game of football, you know, that's not really who you want to be bringing on, is it? I think we just need to be brutally honest here and say that Castaigne hasn't worked. And I don't think he's going to get enough minutes now to really kind of establish himself, because he's not going to be first choice. I mean, he's strange, because clearly he's a phenomenally talented teenager. You know, you just have to look what he did with Italy, and it was AC Milan, wasn't it? And the money Chelsea spent on
him. Inter, sorry. Yeah.
But I'm seeing the same thing as everyone else is seeing, and it's a young kid who's miles off the pace. And, you know, and you would have thought, not necessarily, but, you know, if Enzo being an Italian, you know, a midfielder himself, he probably would have looked at Castaigne thinking, you know, what a hell of a signing he is. But I think if he's honest, he would say it's not working. So whether we keep him or not, we still need to bring in a midfielder, because, you know, when indeed he goes, or if you get one injury to Dewsbury Hall, in terms of like a central midfielder with a little bit of kind of attacking nous, there's not really anyone else. I mean, again, with Eunice, I like him, right? I think he's a technically very good footballer. You know, he's Turkey international, played Galatasaray. But again, I'm thinking, he hasn't made that much impact, has he, really?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, really, he's a nice, neat and tidy footballer. But, you know, looking at the goal that McAtee scored for Sheffield United at the weekend, and that was what he wanted, wasn't it? And, yeah, I know. And then, look, obviously, that's now not an option, but that was the player that Enzo wanted. And there's a reason why he was going after him and not Tom Cannon on deadline day, because that's the player he needed. And, yeah, I just think that if we're being brutally honest, that Cassidy hasn't worked, and I can't see it working. I can't. Obviously, I hope it does. If he turns it around, brilliant. But I just don't see it. I think he's really, really struggling. You know, and with that team now being as settled as what he is, what minutes is he going to get? You know, I'm just not sure. So I think we need to go out and get a midfielder. But it's a little bit difficult, because they're going to have to accept being second fiddle to Ndidi and Dewsbury Hall, potentially, aren't they? So yeah, whether we just kind of make do with what we've got until the end of the season, because we would be fine, wouldn't we, to get promoted with this current squad, you would have thought, or maybe you just kind of cut your losses now and bring somebody in, kind of with a more longer term aim of them being permanent and playing in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think it's clearly an area we need. That's the one. That or a Winks alternative. Although Hamza, to be fair, has been fine when he stood in for Winks. Without Kiernan or Ndidi, we just don't look as strong. In that Leeds game, I think we really missed Ndidi. It was good to see Pratt get some minutes yesterday, because I think he's good in there. However, and I think actually he'll thrive in a Maresca system. But I mean, the bloke gets injured getting out of bed, I think, and you wonder whether he still wants to be there. He's got 6 months left on his contract.
He'll be in Turin Airport for the whole of January, won't he? Waiting for the bid to come in.
Well, Torino will probably say, you know, we need to pay them to take him off our hands or something, because their offers are always absolutely abysmal and right at the last minute. I don't know whether someone's just trolling with it, but yeah. I mean, he just doesn't look very happy either. Someone's got to put him out of his misery at some point. That said, I do think he's a good footballer at this level. I was pleased to see him get some minutes back on the pitch, but just depends whether he's still up for it. I'm at the stage where I'm going to
any
ask
other business.
Any other business on the Plymouth game? We should also do an ad break at some point, which I also need to explain to people because I'm getting loads of questions about ad breaks when I put them in. They don't always go on. Well, no, they don't. Well, sometimes we're going to go to an ad break, okay, and then we leave a bit of a pause. But it depends on your, I don't know, it's cookies and your preferences and things like that. So sometimes you'll get them and sometimes you won't. So yeah, they're always inserted. So yeah. Any other business on Plymouth before we, well, Plymouth on the pitch before we go and talk to sort of Plymouth in the stands?
One really quick one, I think, is Hermanson deserves a bit of a shout because Plymouth did have quite a few shots, including that one in the first half where they were through on goal. And it after last season, it's just nice to have a goalkeeper where, you know, there's a one-on-one and you think he might save this.
Yeah, he's so good, isn't he?
He's fantastic.
I love how he just stays on his feet for as long as he possibly can. He trusts himself to react to where the striker's going with it. That for one of the first half was a prime example of that. He didn't commit, didn't really telegraph where he was going to go to the strike or anything, just waited and got his rewards from it. And his distribution, I think he knocked a few out of play yesterday. It was, I don't know if it translates on the pitch as much, but it was bloody windy in Leicester yesterday. And I feel like a lot of his passes kind of were taken by the wind when he was knocking them wide. But it's nice to see a score from a goal where we've drawn Plymouth onto us a bit and he's gone over the top. I think we've been trying to do that quite regularly. It's not really worked. I think the last time I remember it working was at Southampton away, where Mavididi had made one of those runs from wide. And it's perfect. Like teams that who are playing with a high line against us, they can't cope with it. But I've noticed a few times where he's had the ball at his feet and I felt if he was a bit more ready to play that long pass, because quite often he's almost, it's like sort of treading on the ball. And he's looking for a shorter pass. And there's no way you could be able to generate the power to get it over the top as much as when there is opportunity to do it. So, yeah, but I think, it was just lovely to just see him get a pre-assist, I guess you can call it, for Daka's goal.
One of Rick's favourite's a pre-assist, isn't it, Rick? You love a pre-assist.
I do, mate. They're the holy grail.
Do they do expected pre-assists?
Is that not yet. That'll come next year, I think. But okay, put in the chat, Chelsea makes a good point about the distribution going a bit long. Seemed to be an obvious instruction second half. And somebody put on Twitter that Enzo was deep in conversation with Willie Caballero. It looked like Caballero was saying to go long. They must have spotted an opening, and from what I saw, he then did launch a few, didn't he? And it works. It's effortless at times, and it's good to mix it up because it means the opposition don't know what you're going to do. But yeah, it's good that we are willing to do that in the midst of Enzo often saying that we'll only play one way. We don't. We play a multitude of ways, and you just get frustrated when you hear those words. It's not actually true. I think he does it to piss everyone off.
I think he does do it to piss everyone off. There's two things I really like about Hermanson, one of which is his ability to deal with the crowd going, just knock it long, and he just ignores them, which I think takes some guts. And the second thing is his dad's Twitter account whenever he's had a good game.
Which he was at it again last night, wasn't he?
He was at it again. We need to get him on the pod at some stage. But funny enough, Dave, when you said that, I think it was Oliver Kay in the Times wrote an article basically saying Premier League goalkeeping is kind of the worst it's been for about 20 years. I could have just credited the wrong person with that, but I think it was him. But he's one I think would be right up there in terms of the quality in Premier League. I think he's one I'm very, should we go up, I'm very confident about.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's still strangely, I mean, it's a separate conversation probably, but there's still only a handful of our players I'd say I'd be confident in performing at Premier League level.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It just shows the gulf between the two divisions because we're top, we win almost every game, and yet you're still thinking it's probably three or four of these I'd definitely trust to be first choice. And that's why when teams go up, they replace everyone. And then suddenly, have to start again in the Prem. But to be fair, I mean, as long as we can keep hold of him, I think that's more of a worry than anything. Like, he's definitely Premier League quality, and hopefully he'll stick around with us up there.
His save percentage is unbelievable. Like, I think it's something like 8 2% or something like that, and it's 10, like at least 10% more than anyone else in the league. And the average for the leagues are out in the 60s, I think. So
yeah,
it's miles clear of like the competition in this league. And yeah, he's more than capable of playing at a higher level.
It's mad as well, because every opposition fan that's seen us play has told me that our keeper's dodgy. And he takes a lot of risks with how he plays, but he's really not. And, you know, I think Plymouth tried to lob him from about 40 yards, which is fine, but it's not going to happen very often. I'm sure it'll happen at some stage this season and it will be tagged and highlighted, reeled everywhere. But yeah, it really doesn't concern me. Right, should we do a commercial break and then we will talk Plymouth off the pitch? Off the pitch or even in the stands. But Dave, you I'll give you my perspective sort of post the game yesterday, and then kind of we'll do the sequence of events that followed. So, you know, I've moved my season ticket this year to be closer to the singing section, not quite in it, but I'm in SK1, so just to the left of the singing section. And what really disappointed me yesterday was we're 4-0 up by 55 minutes, and probably with about 10 minutes to go, the ground just started emptying, which, you know, for me, actually, I think it was one of the games that I could actually enjoy in the last 10 minutes, because I'm not a good watcher. And I appreciate people have commitments. You know, the lad I sit with goes to, you know, travels up from London, so it's not always easy. But it's a 3 o'clock game on a Saturday, and as fans, we often moan about kickoff times and everything. You know, it's not that inconvenient in the grand scheme of football now. But the ground was probably half empty at the end of the game, and the team have just put a performance in like that. It's just really disappointing to see, because, you know, players get stick, you know, and, you know, fans make themselves heard when it doesn't go very well. But when they're putting a performance like that, it's hugely disappointing. And then I get home, and Pipes has written something on Twitter about, I think he wrote about the family stand being empty, which got him, you know, a few pelters. But I think he's absolutely right. And it's not just the family stand. This is not about individuals. It's not, you know, I'm not digging anyone in particular out, but to leave in that number, I think, is just so disappointing. And the, you know, the atmosphere in the ground by and large was just really, really quiet yesterday. And if we can't get behind the team when they win 4-0, I don't know when we can, because I spent most of last season going, well, the atmosphere's not very good because the football's not very good. Football's been really good this year. And, you know, despite the best efforts of some, the atmosphere still isn't there, and it's a real conundrum for me, and one that I can't quite work out. So we've mentioned it a few times, but we've never really given it a proper discussion on the pod. But obviously, Dave, I can't quite remember exactly. I'll probably get the exact tweet up of what you said, but, you know, I think you've looked at it from a different perspective and sort of, you know, tried to understand the club's role in this as well, because, you know, the fans play a part, but obviously the club do too. So it'd just be really good to get kind of your thoughts on that and your reaction to some of the responses you've had.
Yeah, I've been trying to put the Christmas decorations up today, and I just keep getting these pings. I'm looking at it, and it's people infuriated with the idea of trying to put one specific point of view across in a tweet where you've only got a certain amount of characters. Even when I started it saying one thing about the atmosphere argument, I'm not trying to solve it in a tweet, but people expect you to, I think. So they kind of want you to put across the entire complexity of why Leicester City have a poor atmosphere at home in as few words as possible. But there are a lot of different factors. So I think overall, like, the stadium is an issue. It's not really conducive to it, but we have still had good atmospheres there, obviously. Then you've got, there is a sense of entitlement and expectation, I think, especially being in the Championship. We have to admit that. Then you've got, there are a lot of people who maybe, well, we know there are a lot of people who aren't there to make noise, but I think there are a lot of people as well that just do treat it more casually than you'd expect a football fan to treat kind of going to see their team. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned about being the only one on two rows around you yesterday. Last season, I mean, I'm towards the back of the west stand in the sort of southwest corner. And last season, I'd be the only one for like five rows around me. I took pictures because I just couldn't believe it in injury time. Even if we were losing and even if people thought we were going to get relegated, it just baffles me that you would not stick it out. And obviously, when you're, you know, top of the league, winning, playing good football, you expect a little bit more. So I'd looked at it from, you know, taking all of those things for granted, almost, that, you know, they're all factors. What could the club do? And what is it about the ground that sort of doesn't make it that conducive sometimes to having a good atmosphere? And I think part of it is that unless you're in the Union FS section or L1 or potentially like maybe the family stand if you've got kids, there's no identity to the rest of the ground. You could be sat anywhere and it's all just one big homogenous mass. So you go into the ground and you don't really feel like you're part of anything bigger other than being in the stadium. You know, if you compare that to a lot of traditional grounds, a lot of places where you're part of a stand or you're part of a subculture within the stadium where it gives you a bit of identity. And I think that does kind of work against us a little bit. Having said that, I'm not saying for a second that means that it's an excuse that, you know, all fans should just turn up and just not make any noise and not support the team. And it's just one small factor, I think. I think it's obviously a long way from being good, and it's just, we've just got to try and get there incrementally with little steps. But even just, I know it's not, it's a trivial thing, but even just talking about it should help. So like you said, we haven't really you haven't really raised it as a massive kind of issue on the pod before. But maybe, you know, something like Matt Piper's tweet, putting it out there, high profile figure that a lot of Leicester fans follow and want to engage with. That's an important thing to like, let's talk about it, because we will need an atmosphere for one or two games this season, and it, like Birch says, it can and it does make a difference.
It was funny actually, because Birch was on the pitch at half time yesterday with Sol Bamba and Steve Howard, which is the first time he's done that in ages, and he didn't say that, which was disappointing. It may have had a different outcome, but but yeah, like Chelsea, obviously you look at it from, you know, the singing sections perspective. And, you know, like I said, I sit next to you just to the side, and it was bouncing in your section yesterday. And, you know, at times it did reverberate wider, but it's still, you know, an atmosphere. You look at some of the clubs going up. I watched Luton today against Man City, and it, you know, their stadium's bouncing. You know, if we're going to be successful again, we need a bouncing King Power Stadium, and it's just not been like that for a long period of time now, has it?
No, not at all. I think that it's challenging. Obviously, we went to the club and approached them about having a singing section because we felt it was required, and we feel that it does have a positive impact. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone ahead and done those trial games and then thought that they were successful and actually going ahead to do it for full time, I think was the right move. I don't think it has taken a massive amount away from any other areas of the ground. Like, I think that's one thing that was kind of leveled at us is, well, if you concentrate all the singers in one section, of course the rest of the ground's going to be silent. That's just, for me, a nonsense. A lot of the stuff that Dave's gone through there around all of these sort of factors that kind of contribute to poor atmosphere, that they're all spot on. They're all just excuses. Like, they ultimately, it's just a lack of effort or willing to want to get behind the team. That is as simple as it is, and it's sad. And maybe that's just football in 2023, which is a battle in itself. Really, is obviously it doesn't seem as partisan as it was when we were all growing up and we were at Filbert Street. But it shouldn't, that's what we don't want to, as Union FS, don't want to accept that. We don't want it to be as homogenous as every other ground that you go to in one of these identical stadiums. You want to be really proud of the fact that Leicester have a great atmosphere. We don't have that at the minute, but it's really challenging to see what we can potentially do about it, because at the minute I'm struggling to see how many people are that interested in an atmosphere. Because if you read on social media or various forums, people will go to the nth degree to find a reason as to why there wasn't a great atmosphere today. And it's like Groundhog Day every single time. It was too cold. It was too hot. The opposition were
wasn't
crap.
Even that cold yesterday.
No, it wasn't. The opposition were crap. Like the ref was too good. Didn't give any bad dodgy decisions. We couldn't get up for it. Like there needs to be the opposition need to be sort of all like give us a little bit of a good game, for instance. Like it, and can't feel like a training exercise. Our style of play is boring. Like it was just all of them ultimately are just excuses for people just not wanting to like get up and sing and support the team, which it is each to their own, obviously. But it, as someone who's very invested in wanting a good atmosphere, it is highly frustrating.
It's hugely frustrating. And a man who doesn't get to the games that often, but is the loudest person I know, probably has a unique perspective on this. Do we need to give you a megaphone and a scarf to whip over your head?
I'll be like that
game. Pitch before the game, Rick.
I'll be like that game from the Portland Timbers. No, I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm a far more to talk at the minute. I don't get to go as much in my circumstances. But if I could, me and my little boy would be there every week, face painting, lobbing bog rolls on the pitch, all sorts, like the good old days. But
Oscar's noisier than you, to be fair to him, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very loud. But, I mean, Dave, Chelsea and you said, Jack, like, we got into football for a reason. Every single football fan, even the old biddies that are down there now, they've got into football at some point in their life. And the thing that probably attracted them to football was not a sanitised, soulless football atmosphere. It won't have been, because it didn't exist years ago for a start. But that isn't a quality that draws you to go into the football. But that is now what happens. And it's almost like, well, I pay my money, I can do what I want. If I want to leave early, if I don't want to sing, I'm a paying fan, I'll do what I want. Well, yeah, but if everyone does that, then you're going to have the thing that won't draw people to the football. So it's like people have got to take accountability. It's like moving to a lovely village that's got really nice independent shops, and then then a couple of years later stop going and traipsing dog shit around everywhere. You say, well, I live here, I can do what I want. Well, yeah, but the reason why it was nice in the first place was because everyone was all in the same boat and taking pride and care in what they're part of. And Michael Reagan had it bob on the other day. It's entitlement, and it's about, we don't feel like, until we overachieve again, it's like we can't get up. We can't create an atmosphere. So if and when we go back up and we perhaps put a few teams away who we can take the piss about, we'll probably, the atmosphere will be good that day. But there's got to be a base level, decent atmosphere. And then, yes, there'll be good times where the atmosphere is just week out so good, like it was when we won the league and during the Champions League campaign. Now, okay, that happens very, very rarely, if at all. But you've got to have some form of basis to go on. And Dave's right. You know what? What have the club really done to help it? Now, I don't want to slag them off too much, because, again, they're probably just trying to appease everyone. But I think they could not worry about offending people by planting the mast that we should create a fortress at the King Power. And if that means we actually sing and shout and it's a bit partisan, as Charlie says, then so be it. Let's have a bit of bollocks about us and pride. And I don't know. I mean, we're going to upset people.
The point you make there, though, is a really interesting one for me, because, you know, I think you're right. the club have tried to do stuff. They're trying to appease large groups of people.
Yeah.
Very difficult, very challenging. You know, good luck to the fan engagement officer, whoever gets that job, because I think that's an impossible job. However, Enzo has come out two or three times really clearly and said atmosphere is really important. He, you know, it might not be, people might say I'm wrong, but after big games, he's gone straight over to SK1. So he obviously recognises it. And, you know, he's early in his tenure, but I think he needs to, I think if the club came out a little bit stronger on it in terms of the atmosphere they want, that would help because, you know, he's not been as blunt as he might be. Maybe it's not his place to, but that for me, I think the club need to be really clear about it because I honestly don't think anyone is sat there going, we want a really flat atmosphere. And I know they're not because I've spoken to some of them. And they, you know, last season they were talking about how the atmosphere was flat and what can be done to improve it. And I guess we don't have all the answers. I have one, which is the fact that it takes 20 minutes to get served at halftime is an absolute disgrace. And I have no idea how in the year 2023 it takes so long. It must be deliberate because they don't want to serve people pints. But that I just think that's ridiculous. But, you know, if Enzo's coming out and saying that, the players know that, you know, so we've just got to do better. And maybe it's just about, you know, raising it. Hopefully Pipes' tweet can draw a bit of attention to it. But it's just not very good, is it?
I think the club should do more to encourage, like, younger fans to just be partisan, loud, enjoy going to the game. So I take my 10-year-old lad when I can do, and he loves going in the singing section. When we go to away games, he's like, is there a singing section? Well, it's the away end. It's supposed to all be a singing section. But we've been to Burton, Liverpool and Sheffield Wednesday, and they're not through this year. And that's the three examples of probably some of the worst away ends I've been in ever. So it's a good question from him, to be honest. But yeah, it's the club should do more for kids that age. They're interested. Like we've alluded to earlier, we got hooked because there was something about the atmosphere of football. It's not just about watching 22 blokes knock a ball around the park like on a Saturday afternoon. Like, it has to be more than that. Like, so yeah, the fact that the club have seemingly, like, I mean, they're very proud of being a family orientated club, which is fine, but they need to appeal to people who have a different, slightly different view on the game, not just the people who are paying customers, buy a nice shirt in the club shop, politely clap, leave after 85 minutes. Like, there has to be more done. I completely agree with you, Dave.
It might be that the Enzo factor does have an effect. Because he's not afraid to say, you know, we need more. He said it numerous times, and I think he'll keep banging that drum. And like Jack says, like, it was so blatant the way he like gathered all the players together and went over to the Union FS section and kind of ignored the rest of the ground, partly because, like, we've been saying there was no one there. And maybe that's the kind of thing that people will think, well, we want the players to come and applaud us, so we're going to stay till the end and we're going to make some noise so that Enzo brings them over to appreciate us as well.
Yeah. And I'd argue, you know, you make the point about buying shirts in the club shop. The club would make a lot more revenue if you could serve pies at halftime and people could actually buy them. So just a thought. Right. Should we play Who Are You?
Go on then.
I need to find the theme tune. So if you could just fill for me for a few seconds, Rick, because we've got too many things here.
Any more incidents this week, Jake? Any crashes?
Oh, no, I haven't heard from Raz either, by the way.
Have you not?
No. So,
I thought I was going to have a similar issue to you last night, to be honest, on the way back from town in the Uber. Don't know if anyone knows North Leicestershire, but the area around Sowerby, Barrow, Cossington is literally just underwater at this moment in time. And our Uber decided to plough straight through quite which I was pleased about because he got me home faster, but at the same time, I'm not entirely sure what happened to his engine today.
Well, look, if ever anyone is in any trouble in Leicester and needs a reliable taxi, and it looks like it could end up in a crash and you might need somewhere to sleep, and just get in touch and I'll pass on Raz's details. Are we pleased with the work, I'm sure.
Yeah, is he not set up on Airbnb now?
No, he hasn't. It's a thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, I have found the theme tune, so I will play it.
Let's go.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right. Dave, you're on this week as guest host, which I'm delighted about. And as Rick's just put in the chat, I think this is the first time we've had a four for a while. So it's going to be hotly contested this game. Charles, I'm sure you've played at home, but you've not been on whilst we've been playing.
No, not played with you guys, but yeah, I like to tell Jordan how easy it is every week. And then it reminds me that it's harder when you're on the actual show. So. Here we go.
He makes hard work of it, doesn't he, to be fair to him? Right, Dave, the floor is yours, mate.
Okay, so born 21st of January 1984.
39. There's no guesses yet, mate. Come on.
Silence. Okay. made 6 appearances on loan for Leicester in 2008.
Right. That's going to be relegation season or the year after.
Do you want another one?
Yep.
Mark Edworthy. No, he's older than that.
He was about 39 when he played for us.
Yeah, no, that was rubbish. Yeah, okay.
Born, I had to go with a Northamptonshire born player. Born in Wellingborough and made 122 appearances for Rushden and Diamonds to start his career.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I should know this.
Yeah, so. Bell.
Sorry?
David Bell.
David Bell is correct.
Good one.
I didn't have to tell you that he played once for Republic of Ireland B and spent 4 months as manager of Corby Town.
We signed him on loan from Luton, didn't we?
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Did he score what? Did he score for us? Did he get one goal for us or not?
I think he scored in a home game.
Really. Yeah, I do. I think like 1-1 or something.
Mm. Holloway signing, wasn't he? One of the many wingers we signed in that period. Is that right?
On his Wikipedia page, it says. And this might give something away that someone called Aaron Watts has been editing it, because it says he was once nutmegged by Rushden and Diamonds youth team player Aaron Watts.
I think Jordan's got a story. Jordan, he played against him at one point and he was jacked up, I think. He'd been on the weights. So he's got a story about him and he's got a story about Lee Cox.
I think we had, Dave, we obviously completely forgiven. Thought we've definitely spoken about David Bell's.
Dave's had the list, so I would be disappointed if Dave.
I did consult the spreadsheet thoroughly two or three times because I thought I can't come on air and say someone who's been
a guest before.
I'm just wondering.
I think he's been a guest, yeah, because he, yeah.
Yeah, but we've spoken about him before because I think he was like a player coach at King's Lynn.
Don't try and bring controversy into this round.
No,
Dave,
I'm not.
Because you're not one.
I was trying to wonder why we've at one point spoken about David Bell. I completely trust
him. Yeah.
By the way, Rick, bollocks to you. That's a few weeks where you haven't got one, isn't it?
Mm.
I got last week's, mate.
No, we didn't do one last week.
The week before, then.
who was that?
I did. I got the last one. But yeah, I've lost a couple recently.
Yeah, I'm back. 2 weeks is your longest non-winning streak since I think you joined the pod. So, when we had a break during the summer. So,
well, it's getting to me now. This could be a crisis.
Head's gone.
It's since you put the what, you can only have one guess around. Yeah. I've stopped guessing at all. Some sort of like, I'm stunted.
You're confused. I enjoyed that. Sorry, what clue was that, Dave? Second or third? Third.
That was
third. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always feel a bit guilty when we get it in the second or the third clue because it's people do a lot of hard work and then it's guessed very quickly.
You ruin
that. That was a good solid 30 seconds on Wikipedia that I put in.
Well, you'll never get that back. But
I got John Pantsill, didn't I?
Oh, you did get John Pantsill. Well, that's, you know.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Two games ago.
You're having a mid-season blip.
Lost for two games.
What was good though when we did the prep for the quiz, obviously it was a lot of going through Wikipedia from certain years, and there were so many names you could go through the squad list of players
I've forgotten about.
It's kind of where I was like, oh, you know, I'm obviously not gonna name names now because I've banked a few in the back of my head thinking I'm gonna bring them up at some point for who are you. But there's so many players you forget about. Like, and then some of them who were like in the Leicester first team squad, who then don't even have like a Wikipedia page and think, what on earth happened? if they're a Leicester first team player, you would have thought it'd be quite good, right? So even if you end up kind of dropping down the leagues, you'd still have a page. But yeah, I've got plenty though in the bank, in the top pocket, ready to go when I'm back on duty. Where's Jack headed off to?
You could probably get about 50 to 60 players, I reckon, in that sort of 2 year spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went through about 7 or 8 different managers in that period as well. So maybe that's the next one. Maybe you do a manager who are you, because we had enough of them as well.
Yeah. He's gone. Where has Holmes gone? Maybe he's... keep talking. I need to grab a phone.
I've forgotten how to do this hosting.
Go on, mate. Back to you.
what do we do? No, I don't know. I'm just going to wait to get Jack to get back. But genuinely, like, I'm so out of the loop of everything. Obviously, as you know, while I've not been on the pod, I feel like a complete fraud for coming on here and chatting about the games. I mean, I will be at some over Christmas, and I have been at some. But it does feel weird.
For you, extended highlights, lads. I was disappointed with the extended highlights.
They were poor.
I can't believe it. Really, we managed to drag 20 minutes out of some of the most boring games you've seen ever. Yeah. And like, there was only, 15 minutes yesterday?
Four minutes on them coming out.
Yeah, they always do that. Right, it's really annoying, isn't it? You're thinking, whoever's chopping at them highlights, it can't be that hard. Give us just a cross that no one gets on the end of, but they give us 2 minutes of teams walking out. Yeah. I'm not as much of a regular viewer of them as Rick, but yeah, I was disappointed.
Maybe they've acted on the feedback that we as UniFest get sometimes when we do TIFOs, that people can't complain because they can't see the teams coming out. So give you the extended highlights of them doing that.
I don't think you're going to get much sympathy for, you know, the extended highlights aren't very good.
I know.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to move abroad so I can watch them all.
That woman who cut the hole in the flag that time, she's
yeah.
I don't need to see this. I don't need to see 2 minutes worth. I was there.
Too much.
Someone said she passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think it was on one of the forums. She's like, yeah, this is the actual lady that is famous for having her head through a TIFO.
Iconic.
Thank God you're back, mate. I didn't know what to do.
Well, it's not like you do this for a living or anything, is it?
I know.
I was running upstairs because I met a bloke called Nathan yesterday who has gifted us. Well, sadly, his dad passed away earlier this year, so he had a load of shirts that he didn't know what to do with. He was going to give them to a charity shop, so he's passed them on to us. And it is the most amazing collection of shirts, right? So I'll show them up to camera, which will be rubbish if you're listening. But we've got the 0203 LG one.
Love that.
We've got Brian. This one's a particular favourite.
Let's do first names that come into your head when you see the shirt.
Yeah, first names when you see this one. This colour.
Oh, Casper, isn't it?
Well, no, for me, that was Comrade Logan. So I think this
true.
This would be the 13 goalkeeping shirt.
The Puma.
Puma one, very, very nice. And then this one, which is my absolute, I think this is my favourite ever shirt, actually, when I was going through them. Which is the black with the blue sash, but it's got Loris on the front.
Yeah. That's what goes through my head.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Kermagant.
And it's got League One champions gold badges on the side, which is a lovely touch. So, like, massive thank you to him for doing that. But what I thought we would do, actually, I didn't really know what I was going to do with them other than kind of try and raise a bit of money for charity. But we've got a few guests lined up for the pod. And obviously, we're going to go back through the years and hopefully get more on. But we'll try and get them signed by someone that played in that era. Maybe we'll get Jan Kermagant on the pod. Who knows? and then we'll try and auction them off for a good cause. So massive thank you to Nathan for doing that. Really appreciate that. And great to meet you yesterday. I know you met Jordan as well yesterday. So that was really kind, which probably we're probably in the any other business stage yet. I'm just checking my notes. We've got Millwall on Wednesday, which comes around quick. And plenty of other things. But I will just play my any other business intro music.
Can I finish speaking? Wait, are you going to interrupt? Can I finish speaking? Okay, because I don't interrupt your question. Okay, so don't interrupt mine. Show some fucking respect.
It would actually be an interesting series, you know, getting on former players who didn't like have a good time at Leicester. It takes like a brave player to do it. But I have seen other podcasts do it, and think actually. Obviously, a Leicester link here, Dean Hammond. I think I'm right in saying when he was at Sheffield United, it wasn't a good time for him.
Yeah.
And he was invited onto a podcast with those guys who I know I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, he did it. And it's quite an interesting conversation because obviously sometimes, you know, explaining why it didn't work out from his perspective. You know, and obviously when you mentioned getting Jan Kermagant on the podcast, instantly I think, oh, God, no. But actually, when you think about it, I think, if he's like brave enough and kind of nice enough to come on, it would actually genuinely be interesting to have a chat with him about, you know, just that. The whole year and like what was it like afterwards, all that.
Yeah.
So maybe any.
He did quite well at Charlton afterwards, didn't he?
Reading and Charlton, he scored bagfuls. He said he obviously was a decent player, just it didn't work out. And so just sometimes if you've just got that one blotch in your career, it'd be interesting to actually hear from him say, you know, you go through your career of all these kind of successful times, why did it not work at Leicester? And I think it'd actually be dead interesting to speak to those people. Not necessarily Jan, if you can think of others who played at Leicester, didn't have a good time, but were clearly decent players, and see if we can persuade them to come on the podcast at some point.
You might not get Harry Kane based on what Michael Regan said the other week.
I know, yeah. He's also quite big time and probably wouldn't give us time for the podcast, but there we go. I've got a few bits of any other business. Would anyone else like to talk about any topics in particular?
You're
done. Thanks, well, Jay.
In terms of talking points.
Yeah, just quickly on that UNFS 10 years thing. So obviously yesterday we put up a few banners and to mark that in the section, which was great. To be honest with you, we were chatting last night actually. Did we think we'd make 10 years after 5 years? Probably not. I think the group has gone from strength to strength. Like, it's been led by some fantastic people, and you really know what they're doing, really energized and want to just make the match day experience a lot better for everyone, not just the people within the group as well. So all credit to those guys. It was amazing to see it. We probably had about 100 people like in Duffy's and then to the Exchange Bar after. Various ages, like a lot of young lads who are now really like up for it, like sort of just stop going to games with like their parents and stuff like that and just want to make a difference in the atmosphere. So we also put some leaflets out. I think we put about 1,000 leaflets out on seats in and around SK1, kind of encouraging people that if they want to make a difference, now's the time to say, so that you can get relocated into the singing section for next year, hopefully, because the best way to do it is to actually just take some action. That's what we did when we set up UNFS 10 years ago. We wanted to stop talking about it and just make a difference and actually do something. That's kind of my any of the business is just almost a bit of a plea that if you are fed up with it and you want to do something about it, just come and speak to us. We're pretty easy to find on social media and forums, etc. So hopefully be in touch.
Good shout. Having moved my season ticket, I don't think I've moved it close enough, so I might be one of those people that comes to speak to you. Dave, any other business?
Yeah, just a quick one. I was looking because seeing Chelsea on here, I was looking to see when the last time that I spoke to him was, because I remember having a quick chat in a square in Eindhoven and looking at when that was. And it's like, it was only last year that we were playing in Eindhoven. If you'd said then, like, because we were saying, oh, who'd thought we'd be here, you know, when we were going around League One and all of that. And then if you'd have said to us then, right, in 18 months' time, you'll be on a podcast talking about winning against Plymouth. Millwall and Birmingham and Rotherham, you'd just be like, no way, surely not. But there we are. Here we are.
It is mad that was only last year, isn't it? Really is mad. Bonkers. Rick, any other business?
Yeah, good to see Celtic lose again. Talking of reminiscing to bad times from this year. But only any other business, I did spot our friend of the show, original dad bod. He's had a son this weekend, so he's had a little arrival, Tommy, I think his name is. So congratulations to him and his missus. He's also put up some unbelievable scran again today, so God knows where he's had the time to do that in between wiping behinds. But, yeah, fair play to him, so congrats. But, yeah, not a lot else. Good pod, enjoyed it.
Thanks. Thanks for your company. I've got a few, so... you might hear us starting to talk about razors next week. More will be explained. If you accuse us being sellouts, it's Christmas. And we're getting you all discount codes. So, you know, interested to see the feedback on that. One thing that's not sponsored, but I bought some beers from Mill Hill Brewco in the last week with friend of the show, LCFC Lee. Can't remember what his number is at the end of it. Discount code. They were very, very good. Local brewery based in Enderby. Great artwork. I would highly recommend them if anyone likes beer. Probably a lot of our listeners.
One of the lads was bollocking them down on Friday night, and it was he was rated it. So
good beer. Good beer. And I think I can't remember if I've got anything else. There probably is something else. I'll probably have to insert it afterwards, but I think that's it. I think that's it.
About our proposed big, strong Leicester boy social?
That was the other thing, yeah. So, obviously, we worked with Lamp for the quiz night, which seemed to go down really well. Liam wants to do more stuff with us, which is brilliant because it's exactly what we want to do. Jake obviously talked, you know, really well about kind of stuff that affected him and been around some of his friends. So we want to continue that. So you will see some stuff called the Big Strong Leicester Boys. I think it's social night as we're branding it at the moment. We might need some work on the branding in terms of how we're describing it. But you'll start to see some of those events. We're planning on doing those quarterly next year. They'll be in Leicester. And it will just be a place to come and have a chat. Talk about men's mental health, which, you know, blokes don't really do, as we all know. So we're really keen to do more with those. So if you've got any questions about that, please do drop us a note on Twitter or on Instagram or to us directly. Most of our socials are out there. So just drop us a note on that.
Just quickly then on that, inundated with messages last week from listeners of the pod, people who I don't know, never met. Who all sent me a message. So, thanks. You know, it genuinely is much appreciated. And so, yeah, so it's nice to have that little community. And as Jack said, you know, to kind of now move this forward and do even more and create that space is, it was never part of the plan doing this podcast, but the fact we're able to do these sort of things, it's genuinely great. So, thanks for everyone who messaged me. It's much, much appreciated.
If anything, Jake, and this is the thing I'm most delighted about with it, is that people might realise that big and strong is irony.
Yes.
And they might get that message eventually, because I know initially people did think we were being serious about that. So if we can, you know, quash those rumours, that would be good. Good stuff. All right. Should we leave it there then?
Yep.
Right. Yep. Well, thank you. thank you for your company. It's been great to have such a gaggle of big, strong Leicester boys on the pod, including friends of the show. So that's great. Millwall on Wednesday. So we will be back probably next weekend with a pod before Birmingham on Monday. But yeah, we will have a chat about that in our own chaotic way, as we always do. But thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Podcast Network.